News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, earlier this week on Wednesday, it marked World Mental Health Day, and there was research released to show that nearly half of young Irish people have said that their mental health has actually deteriorated in recent years. But we want to ask this morning, have we become too quick to label ourselves as being mentally unwell? And does worrying about our mental health actually make us more anxious? So to discuss, I'm joined in the line by Dave Clements, who runs the Social Policy Forum at the Academy of Ideas over in London. Dave, just first of all, there's no denying that people here in Ireland, that people are now more aware of their mental health than ever. Surely that has to be a good thing.
I'm not so sure. I'm not even sure what awareness means anymore. I think it's a word that's batted around a lot, particularly on days like World Mental Health Day. And it's kind of confusing because I think that in general terms, I don't think we do have a mental health problem. I think it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, we don't have massive increases in psychoses or neuroses in children or in adults. But there is this general sense that we need to talk about our mental health more and we need to be concerned about our mental health. And I think that in itself has become a problem. But still there's this notion, which I think is a bit of a myth, that there's a taboo about talking about mental health when, you know, sometimes it kind of feels like, you know, we hardly talk about anything else.
So are you talking about worldwide or about Ireland and in the UK?
I'm talking about worldwide, but you know, certainly in the UK and in Ireland, it's you know, particularly strong. In the UK, we have the young royals, Harry and William and some of the others who have, you know, they're fronting a campaign called Heads Together, which is all about getting people to talk about their problems, which is very much in the language of mental health. And it's interesting how the language has changed. So, you know, increasingly we don't talk about mental illness anymore. We talk about mental health and well-being, which is much more fuzzy and slippery concepts, which kind of lends itself to all sorts of interpretations. And so it's very open to being used and abused. And I think what's happening is, you know, even on a worldwide level, there's what amounts to a culture war on people just coping with everyday events. So for children, you know, exams or social media are presented as a big threat to their well-being rather than being understood as, you know, everyday occurrences that shouldn't trouble them.
I think a lot of people, though, would be very surprised to hear that, because here in Ireland, we've had a history of being a nation who didn't talk about mental health problems or difficulties. And we've also had a very high level or incidence of even suicide cases. So, like, therefore, the whole concept and narrative of talking about mental health and mental illness and mental well-being became something of a huge focus for people. I would have thought that this breaking down barriers was actually a good thing.
I don't think it necessarily is, because, you know, one of the things that allows people to function and that allows society to function is having a robust sense of yourself and your ability to cope with the demands of life. And if the message that keeps on being produced is one that says you can't cope, that you need to talk, you need to get support, whether it's from experts or from local services, there's this notion that therefore, you know, you won't be able to operate in the kind of way that you might have operated in the past. You know, your ability to function is brought into question, and that becomes quite seductive when you're told that, particularly when children are told that.
In the same way that we would look out for triggers of something wrong medically, is it not good for people to be aware, though, of some of the hurdles or barriers that they may cross mentally and to watch out for these landmines?
Absolutely, but people manage these things themselves. They always have. You know, that's what resilience is all about. Resilience is about drawing on your own resources and on your family and on your community to try and, you know, face the troubles that you come across. But instead, what's happening now is that this is being medicalized or turned into a condition or a syndrome. And as such, you become powerless because you're being told that this isn't something that you can control anymore. You're no longer equal to it. You have to draw on external support in order to do that. And this is happening in schools. So schools are reporting increased levels of stress, of anxiety and depression. But often that brings into question more the way in which children are being raised and about the socialization of kids and the messages that they're getting. You know, if they're getting told this all the time, if they're being told that their well-being is under threat, then inevitably they're going to start believing it and they internalize that.
Is it not reflective, though, of the fact that more and more governments worldwide are allocating more funding to this area? Like even in your own country, Theresa May appointed a specific minister to the area recently. Is that not reflective of the amount of societal changes that there have been, and that we need to be aware of how serious a problem this is?
Well, there are two things going on. You have to distinguish between the very politicised and quite ideological mental health awareness industry, for want of a better word, and what's happening on the ground in terms of services. So actually, certainly in the UK, services are struggling, and they've been struggling for a long time. And there isn't new money going into those services. This new money is being diverted into these other more high-profile campaigns. So instead of putting money into child and adolescent mental health services, they're going into schools or into the workplace to try and convince more people that they have problems, which seems bizarre to me.
I have to say, I wouldn't have thought it was about convincing people that they have problems. I would have thought it was about highlighting the triggers for people, the things to watch out for, you know, and to emphasise to people the support networks that are there and to show that it's normal to have down days.
It is totally normal. In fact, that's the point I'm making. It's so normal, it shouldn't be medicalised. By turning it into a mental health problem, you are trying to convince people that, you know, one in four of us or one in three of us, you know, the figures change all the time, have some kind of mental health problem, and it's just not true. So you'll find that despite this, that children and young people who are struggling, you know, a minority of them are struggling with, you know, problems with eating disorders or self-harming, but they're not the ones who are being prioritised here. They're actually struggling to actually access services. They could be waiting for months on end trying to get a service. So none of this is actually improving, you know, people who are really struggling. It's not improving their experience. Instead, it's a quite political and cultural thing that's going on here, which is very little to do with improving services.
OK, look, it's definitely an interesting alternative insight into the idea. My thanks to Dave Clements, who runs the Social Policy Forum at the Academy of Ideas in London, for joining us on the programme this morning. There's plenty more to come here on News Talk Breakfast. Do stay with us.